Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. It's a remarkable story of forgiveness, love, and the power of the gospel to change lives. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing. Jan Wismer gets our discussion started today.
Valerie, let's talk about those teen years. What was it like for you without a father during those years? Did you ever wish for some fatherly advice or anything along those lines?
Actually, when I was about 12 years old, my mother fell in love with a man named Addison Leach, and I did not know that she was seeing him until she got engaged. And one day, she had come home from a trip, and I went in to see her in the morning because I hadn't seen her the night before, and she said she had some exciting news for me, and she said she was going to get married. This was in October, and she was going to get married on January the 1st, and she showed me the ring on her finger, and I remember just seeing the joy in her face made me very excited, too. I was happy. But the big thing was I had to keep it a secret until after her marriage. And the very first thing that happened was I got on the bus that morning. My best friend, I sat down next to my best friend, Joanne, and she said, "Well, Valerie, is your mother getting married yet?" And I hadn't said a word to her about, because I didn't know that my mother was being courted by somebody, but I kept my word to my mother, and I said, "No," and smiled, but nothing was ever said again until after her marriage. She got married in New York City, so it was right before I turned 13 that she got married, and I was her only attendant in her wedding. That was a very happy, exciting time. And so I had a stepfather from the time I was 13 until I was 18, which is, in the sovereignty of God, perfect timing for me. I needed a father then. I needed his authority. I loved him. There wasn't anything that I didn't like about him, especially knowing that my mother was happy, made me happy.
Elizabeth, how did you prepare Valerie for these teen years that are so full of pressure from peers and the dating scene begins? And did you have any worries?
I guess I started preparing her from the day she was born. I think that's what a mother tries to do. It's our job to work ourselves out of a job and to teach a child independence. And it was not always easy for me to allow her to do some of the things in the jungle, which could entail danger. And she would go off sometimes with the Alcas for a whole day of hunting and fishing. So there were ways in which I was constantly trying to wean her away from myself. And I felt that she and I had such a perfect mother-daughter relationship that I never really worried about teenage years. It wasn't nearly so much discussed. In fact, when I was growing up, we weren't even thought of as teenagers or adolescents. I never had the privilege of feeling that I was in a special class, a very difficult class. And I can remember people saying to me when I talked about the perfect communication and relationship that it seemed to me Val and I had, people would say, "Oh, well, wait till she's a teenager, you know, that's when everything falls apart and you go into those silent years." Well, I'm still waiting. It never has happened.
So you would say even the answer to the communication question starts in the beginning.
Right at the beginning.
That's one thing I've been impressed about when I've watched your family just in the few hours that we've been together. They really communicate with one another. They talk. They're friendly. They're cordial. You don't wonder what they're thinking. And that's true of all the ages of your children. And I think that says an awful lot. What kind of advice did your mother give you, Valerie, about boys and men? Her mother gave her two words of advice.
Oh.
Keep them at arm's length and don't chase boys. Mm-hmm. Is that what she told you?
Keep them at arm's length, I remember. Especially one particular incident I had. I don't remember. It was before you'd gotten married because you went to Jerusalem. Was I 11 or 12? We had sock hops in our junior high. And so this little boy named Ronnie had invited me to go to it, and I was scared. And I remember sitting down not wanting to dance all the time, and we both sat down next to each other, and somebody came up to us and said, "Y'all ought to hold hands." Not you all, but he said, "You ought to hold hands." And we were both embarrassed, and they made us hold our hands together, and they got hot and sweaty, and I remember feeling guilty about it. So I wrote to my mother in Jerusalem, and at the time we had another lady living with us, and she was taking care of me while my mother was gone. So I wrote to my mother and told her that we had held hands and how funny or guilty or bad I felt about it. And she wrote me a wonderful letter, which of course I still have, about not doing what the crowd tells you to do and not getting on the bandwagon and doing everything that everybody else is saying you should do. And she said, you know, that marriage is something to look forward to and to save yourself for, and that I didn't need to hold anybody's hand. And I remember just thanking, I don't know if I actually thanked the Lord, but I was so thankful for a mother who gave me such good advice. And I remember in ninth grade, quote, going with a guy, unquote. His name was Mark Silver, and the thing to do was to go to a movie and, quote, make out, unquote. And I remember starting on something like that and knowing that it was not right and breaking up the relationship with him. And that at the time I had my stepfather, and I remember something about telling him about it, and he told me that he was proud of me, that I didn't have to have the same kind of relationship everybody else was having with boys, and I was thankful for that, too.
But certainly, Valerie, in this day and age, you don't expect your own children to maintain that same high standard, do you?
Yes, I do. I really have already talked to my 9-year-old girl. My husband has talked to my 11-year-old son about that, that our bodies are not our own, and they belong to the Lord, and so we should keep them pure and clean until the Lord gives us a husband or a wife that is his gift to us. So we have already talked about that, and I'm thankful that my daughter wants to talk about it with me, and she is eager to know whatever I have to say to her about it. So, yes, I do want her to keep a high standard, and I pray for that, as I know my mother prayed for me, and as she said, from the time they're born, we can start to pray that the Lord would keep them pure and would also give them the resolve and the will to want to stay clean and pure until they get married.
What kind of thoughts did you have about marriage in high school? Did you do a lot of dating? Was it something that you really planned for? And even in planning your education after high school, was marriage always in the prayers and plans that you had?
I think it was. I knew that I wanted to get married. I, again, quote, went with a guy through most of my sophomore, junior, part of my senior year, and we had a nice Christian relationship. He was just a very good friend, and I think at that age, I really loved him, although I was afraid to say that word, love. And we both went to the same college, and I was thinking that when we went to college, we still would probably be going together, but it happened that when we got there our freshman year, the very first time I saw him, he dropped me. I mean, there was no more relationship, and he didn't ever explain that to me until about a year later. We just would see each other on the sidewalk, and he'd say hello. And so I remember kind of going through agonies about that, because I thought, although I knew my mother wasn't all that big on him, I thought he might be the guy that I would want to marry eventually, but I knew that I wanted to graduate from college and get that over with before I got married.
What about choosing a major?
Choosing a major.
What did you choose and why?
I chose English literature, probably because my mother and my Uncle Tom had been the greatest influence on me in reading books, and that was my love. Those were the classes, the literature classes were the ones I really worked harder in and tried hard, and so I did not choose to get a teaching certificate. I don't really remember the reasons behind that, except that I thought I probably would get married after college, or at least I hoped that I would, and I didn't really plan on a career.
Tell me a little bit more about your college days. Where did you go to school, and were you involved in any extracurricular activities?
I went to Wheaton College in Illinois, and I think my only extracurricular activity was concert choir, which I loved. I got into it the first year and stayed in it all 4 years and thoroughly enjoyed it. We had an excellent director. He was a disciplinarian and really taught us how to sing well. I was a first alto in the choir. My first 2 years, I would say, were difficult studying because I was not, had not been all the way through school, a real student, a real disciplined student. I always was carefree and careless sometimes about my studies, so I didn't really apply myself until after the second year of school. I had a roommate my second year in college that always wanted to fool around, and she was the kind of student that could get straight A's and still fool around, didn't have to do a whole lot of studying, and I was the kind that would have to study, and so my grades were getting down to the C minuses and D's, and I got a very good letter from my stepfather, I remember, where he said, "We didn't send you to college to fool around and play. We sent you to school to study." And I remember feeling just awful about my grades, but really not applying myself until I got a single room my junior year at Wheaton, and then really got serious about studying and did much better.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.